Oh boy, what's up, Atlanta? Your boy, not doing great. I will explain why momentarily. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 9:30. Oren, we got three and a half. I don't know how we're. Yeah, three. He pulled. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. 3-1, and we'll make sense of it all because the Hawks. Oh, can they make it 3 in a row against these West Coast teams? Take down the Lake Show at home. Clippers on the road. They got a very, very underwhelming Sacramento team tonight, who I believe is 3-7 on the season, and they're old and they're slow. We'll see. And that they're injured as well. Hawks obviously try to continue to soldier on without Trae Young. It's been a mixed bag so far, but last couple of games really, really showing something. But I gotta start here with our football team. Can we even call it that at this point? No, I'm just kidding. But it is our football team, for better or for worse. Raheem Morris is our head coach, for better or for worse. And he said something today on Dukes and Bell during their exclusive interview, which you can hear every single Wednesday from the Ticketmaster Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He talked about our quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., and his confidence. And listen, I got no problem if you're going to cape up for your guy. None whatsoever. You should. You're the head coach. You shouldn't dog out your quarterback. But there's also putting lipstick on a pig, to use a turn of phrase. There's also, you know, looking up at the sky and telling me it's green. I mean, there's a difference between caping up for your quarterback, again, which he should do, and the following answer, Oren. Let's get this ready. Raheem Morris on Michael Penix Jr. and his confidence. Listen to this.
No, it was all encompassing what you just said. It was what you're talking about, the missed throws, they came on third down. You know, if we're talking about the missed out throw to Mooney on the sideline, where we're trying to layer over a defender and the guy's there and you try to layer it, you put too much and it goes out of bounds. That leads into frustration. And then you come right back out after that and you pivot off a thing, you progress across the middle of the field, and you throw to David Sills and you don't take your next hitch and you kind of throw it right behind him. And those frustration things, that was the frustration that he had. It's not a confident thing. What came out as confidence to him was the anger of him knowing that he could make those plays and he missed them. And that's why he went out and said everything was on him and he blamed himself. And it, you know, to the kid's credit, man, like I do nothing but credit his accountability. You know, but at the same time, there were some brilliant throws, which you just mentioned, that we did not make. We did not catch for him. You know, the keeper, the one we talked about earlier, that could have been a touchdown. You know, some of the ones that we made on the sideline, that when you fight through the stuff and some of the stuff when you make some of the checks and you got to get those things down. And, like, he did some really good things, and he wants to play better, and he's capable of playing better. The stats may not show that because some of the completion things that I have, but because of the drops, because of the missed throws, a few missed throws that you're talking about, but – the fact that he knows he can make those, that's the confidence. The anger and right. Some of the displeasure that he had was because he knows he can make them and he should have made them.
I'm sorry, y'all. I mean, come on. He was 12 of 28. I came on the air this week and I said I thought I was being kind to Michael Penix Jr. compared to some of y'all. We took calls all show. Is he the problem? No, he's not, and I agree with that as well. Here's why this is such an issue to me. Oren, I'm worried if he actually believes that. That is my general concern. Like, rah, you just sat there for 90 straight seconds and avoided it like the
what
bubonic
are you watching, rah? Yeah.
Plague. Guys, do you agree with me here? Like, when I hear that from a quarterback from a head coach who already appears to be as lost as Raheem Morris does at times, especially on game day, like maybe they're not fixing this thing behind the scenes here. Maybe they're not addressing the issues behind the scenes here. I cannot believe that. I mean, 404-726-0929. I mean, let's talk about this. I got the whole first hour to take your calls, and we'll take your calls all show long. Guys, that was an alarming soundbite to me. Like, good. Yes, accentuate the positives and stand up for your guy. That's your guy, right? Michael Penix Jr. But to just basically excuse a 12 for 28 performance, and there was no mention in that cut of, you know, the urgency to get back in the lab and him and Zach and get together and get him back to the quarterback that we think he can be. There was no mention of the footwork or the mechanics or anything that's going on with Michael Penix Jr. right now. Again, don't throw him under the bus. Absolutely not. That is not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, by that soundbite, it does not appear to me that there is any sense of urgency about this quarterback right now. Wow. I mean, you would have thought based off, here's the exercise. If I didn't tell you Michael Penix Jr.'s stats from that game, and I just played that soundbite for you, you would have thought he was like, you know, 21 of 26 and just missed a couple of throws. That's what you would have thought, not 12 of 28 and just inopportune throws at the worst possible times, because that's what it was on Sunday. Like, the right note here, Falcons fans, needs to be struck by this head coach. And I just think right now he's searching for it and he can't find it. That to me is not the right note. I know Raheem's whole thing right now is to be stoic and be positive and be a person that's, the front-facing figure of the organization. And that's his job and that's fine. But, I mean, you can also acknowledge the reality of the situation just a little bit. I mean, get the message out there to your quarterback that, hey, we need to see a little bit more. We need to see a little bit more consistency. Instead of heaping praise on his play, which was abysmal. Like, they're sticking up for your guy, and then they're just doing way too much. And I thought that soundbite was just not an accurate representation of what happened on Sunday at all. And that is part of his job, is to keep it 100, to keep it a buck, to go on with Dukes and Bell and to, you know, give the state of the team. Again, don't throw your player under the bus, especially your quarterback. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about just hyperbole in terms of the state of the quarterback position for the franchise right now. It's not good. You know, there is absolutely nothing wrong with Raheem coming out and saying, it's on me. Don't put it on Michael. Say, it's on me. It's on Zach. It's on TJ and everybody else to come out and do what we need to do to get him going, to get him back to playing the way that we know that he's capable of. But just saying, oh, we're confident in him. We're confident in him. We're confident in him. Really? Why? I mean, seriously, what has led you over the last couple of weeks to be confident about him? He needs help. That's what we keep saying. The four-letter word, not that one. H-E-L-P. Help him. And to just put a blanket, like a nice, warm, orange, fuzzy, soft blanket over the situation, that is not the right tone. That is not what the fans want to hear right now. They want to hear that you are pedal to the metal grinding with this young kid to get him back to where he needs to be. And again, that's not throwing him under the bus. That's not saying we're desperate, we're tanking, our season's lost. No, that's saying we acknowledge what's going on with our offense right now, and we are doing every single thing within every single minute of the day that we are at Flowery Branch to get this thing right. And that comment to me, woof, that did not give that at all. That gave the meme that we always talk about of the dog sitting in the house that's on fire saying everything's fine. That's what that gave to me. And that is, guys, we're not stupid. Like, we saw the game. He was 12 of 28. That, to sugarcoat it that much, I mean, that's an entire tray of cookies worth of sugar, man. Like, he just poured it on there. And for the final time, yes, Raheem, please defend the quarterback. Please. We need him to be confident. We need to know that you support him. Do that. But don't say what you said, man. I mean, that's taking it a bridge too far. That's a countywide bridge too far. That's a statewide bridge too far. You can have confidence in your young quarterback, but we also need to acknowledge what's going on. The Titanic is sinking, man. Again, you don't need to admit it, but you can work around. Raheem's an amazing orator, meaning talker. He's an amazing talker. You could find a way to acknowledge the situation, represent it in the right way that doesn't throw your quarterback under the bus, and make the Falcons fan base, which I'm going to take your calls on at 404-726-0929, have faith that you guys, A, know what you're doing, and B, know how to fix it. That seemed like to me, well, yeah, play here, play there, everything's good. You know, we have confidence in him. He made some good throws. 12 of 28. Come on, man. Your calls are next. 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle. Oof, not happy today. Before we get to the busy, busy phone lines, full lines right now. So if you want to get in, just hang tight. We'll get you in 404-726-0929. Got the whole first hour here to take your calls. A reminder to join the morning shift every Friday for the Tailgate at Home. It's presented by Publix. Bo Morgan will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. That's the Tailgate at Home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, some of y'all on the flyover came at me because y'all thought I was being too kind to Michael Penix Jr. after his abysmal performance by saying, guys, that's a microscopic viewpoint of looking at a game where you gave up career days to Jonathan Taylor, 300 all-purpose yards. Yes, you had the 7 sacks, but you gave up 31 points. You were on the field on defense way too much. Offense couldn't sustain drives. Zach Robinson forgot how to call plays again in the second half. There was just so much going on. And I caped up for Michael Penix Jr. Or so I thought, Oren, until I heard the comments of Raheem Morris today, where essentially, again, it's the meme of the dog in the house that's on fire saying everything's fine. No, it's not, coach. And it's okay to acknowledge that. In fact, you should. Because quite frankly, the entire state of your coaching staff hangs in the balance of you guys fixing it and getting him right. So to pretend like everything's fine, that's not the right note to me. Again, I'm not asking him to eviscerate his quarterback. I'm asking him to acknowledge that there's a problem and that he needs to play better. And that's okay to do that. He's a big boy. He can handle it. He's not going to crumble by you saying in an honest moment to your fans who are desperate to see this team snap a 4-freaking-game losing streak, that the quarterback is not playing well right now and it needs to be fixed, and that you and Zach and everybody else are going to do nothing but round-the-clock work to get his footwork right, to get his mechanics, stop throwing sidearm, got to get the plays in earlier, everything that you need to do to fix this QB. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that today. I heard a lot of, you know, we were this close and if and nuts and candies and buts. That's not what I want to hear. Let's start with Joey. What do you think? Joey, you're in the game.
Hey, what's up, Turtle? So a couple of things here. So Raheem Morris is a politician when it comes to answering questions. He tells you what he wants to tell you, but never the answer any of the fans need to know, first off and foremost. And then when it comes as far as Michael Penix goes, yeah, like, you got to be direct with the fans. Like, he wants to keep, like, this boundary as far as, like, oh, that's why you're fans and that's why I'm the coach. Okay, great. So you're telling me with the roster that we have, we're 3-6, and the Panthers are 5-5, and the Saints are 2-8. So you're telling me we're one win better than what the Saints roster is, and all that comes down to is coaching. Like, I've been trying to get on the call since, you know, Monday, but, dude, it's got to change. It all comes down to coaching. It's not just Raheem. It's Zach. It's everyone. Like, and I'm never the type of guy who I'm like, oh, like, clean house, but, you know, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing, expecting different results. It's it's so frustrating. And like, what makes it more frustrating for me is like, you know, on Sunday morning, I was like, dude, I'm done. But, you know, 1 o'clock Sunday coming up, I'll still be wearing my Falcons gear in hopes of a win and probably disappointed. Cause I'm telling you, it's so bad. I'm so tired of Raheem's interviews and the way he just dodges questions. He's never, ever direct. And it's just so irritating and tiring. It's a lot.
No, Joey, I feel you. And that's exactly, Joey, why we're talking about it tonight. He had every opportunity when Dukes and Bell did a great job asking that question about Michael Penix Jr., his confidence and your confidence in him, coach, to give a great answer, to give a nuanced answer about how we love Michael, we have all the faith in the world in him, but we also understand that at this critical juncture of the season, some changes need to be made. Some adjustments need to be made. That we know he's capable of playing much better than he has, and that's going to be our sole focus and main focus, is to get him back to being the quarterback that he needs to be. Orin, was that so hard? I just did it. I didn't throw him under the bus. I acknowledged that there's some flaws, and I also acknowledged we have the utmost confidence in him. Is that so hard? That's what we needed to hear today, and we didn't. James is up. Excuse me. Ron is up next. Ron.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you.
Great. Okay. A couple things. I listened to the press interview earlier as well. I was disturbed. I was disturbed by a lot of things. I heard Raheem compare the Carolina game to the pilot who saved all the lives of landing the plane in the Hudson. The stupidest thing I've ever heard. The next thing is also, I just saw a clip of Michael Penix Jr. talking about who he relied on for advice and support. And from that video, what I can tell is I noticed he didn't mention any of the current coaches. He went back to his high school. He went back to college. And whether he did mean this or not, I know people are debating about it right now. You can kind of see that he may have meant that he doesn't have the support from the coaching staff. He said everything without having to directly say it, probably for PR purposes, because we see it with the product. When he's on the sidelines, no one's standing next to him with a tablet. No one's correcting it. He's begging with Zach Robinson to get the plays in. He clearly doesn't have any support. So then I ask, how is it not coaching to have a decision to clean house immediately?
Well, I'll tell you, and I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, there's some gray area on this Michael Penix cut. I have not heard it yet. We're going to try to grab it for you guys and play it with the appropriate context. But if that's not there, you know, things are bad. Let me put it to you this way. Things are bad enough. We don't need piling on of things that were misconstrued. There's enough that was directly said that we can break down for y'all tonight. I know that clip is starting to go viral, but I just want to make sure, you know, my responsibility is to, if we play it in the right context and not, you know, take somebody's words out of school. That's certainly not what we're trying to do. But I have been made aware of it. I do know what you're talking about, but I have not been able to hear it yet and make my own judgment call about exactly what he said and who he was talking about. So we'll just stay away from that one for now, because Raheem certainly gave us enough fodder. We played the cut in the first segment. I'll play it again later in the show about what he said about Michael Penix Jr., his confidence in himself and the team's confidence in him, and just how a lack of – it's just, you got to read the room, man. You got to know that these fans and us, everybody here that calls in to 92.9 The Game, it's desperate time, man. You got to acknowledge, all hands on deck. We got to fix this thing. Ship be sinking. You don't say ship be sinking, but you acknowledge the situation and explain how you're going to fix it, as opposed to just dumping sugar all over it, which is what happened. Falcons Nation, we are smarter than that. That's not going to fly. 404-726-0929. James is up next. James.
Hey, what's going on, Turd? I appreciate you taking the call. I ain't going to be too long. I know you're a busy man. I just want to say, like the last caller said, for one, the analogy about landing the plane, the equivalent to that would be us potentially making the Super Bowl and winning it, which we probably won't do. But I just want to say, as you saw in the interview, Raheem is, as always, he's a good talker. He know how to make it sound good, look, but it don't look good. I feel like the reason his record is the way it is as far as overall coaching, you see the the thing that Saban and Kirby had, and I know it's college, but it's one thing they got in common aside from their championships, they got attitude and they not scared. Because sometimes you got to make somebody feel you. You mess up whether we up 30 or down 30, you got to get in somebody's ear. He don't do that, and it shows. This is probably why, I mean, his record is the way it is. And lastly, I just want to say, he treats the player, and I could be wrong, granted I'm outside looking in, but it seems as though he treats them how people be saying you can't be your child's friend, you have to be their parent. He don't treat the players like he's a coach. He more so, oh, I'm a teammate with y'all, versus, hey, man, you did, like you said, he sugarcoated a lot of that in that interview instead of just saying how you said it. And the last thing I'm going to say, I know I just said that, but I just thought about it. The last thing is, oh, I forgot it. Thank you for taking the call. But you get no, that's what it was. Like the last caller said, you say you're done with the Falcons and you say this and do that, but then, you know, Sunday we right back in front of the TV with our gear on, and like you said, something just got to change. I will expect everything at the end of the season or whatever happened to just change. But the only thing I would say is, the only good thing is I like the coordinator, Brick. If we can just keep him, I'm cool with everything else. I appreciate taking the call. Y'all have a good night.
Thanks, James. Listen, man, he's the only one that's going to stay, I think, if they don't get this thing right, because he's proven enough that he should come back. But maybe to James's point, they clean house entirely. I don't know. But yeah, what it all comes down to is, again, Raheem needs to find the right tone. And over the past couple of weeks, I think that's something he's really struggled with. You got to connect to the fan base, to the other caller's point. Don't make it a me versus them thing. We're trying to ride with you, coach. Don't put a glass pane door in front of us and stare at us like it's through a mirror and just say, well, y'all are over there and we're over here. Nah, man, you got to be with your fans. They're the heartbeat of the team. Scott's up next. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, I got three short things. The first one is, here's the hard truth. Penix got away with a lot in college, and this is why they were so impressed when they went out to that flight to go see him across country. He got away with a lot because he's got natural talent. He's got natural arm strength. What he's learning and what this coaching staff is learning is that you can't get away with that in the NFL. Every little detail matters. Can't throw off your back foot like you could in college. I mean, he could even throw it a little bit late because he had Rome Odunze to throw to. You can't do that in the NFL. The problem is Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson, they don't know how to fix this. And I heard it was on another show earlier today on this station that said Zach Robinson has not been a quarterback in this league, and he was a first-time coordinator when he came to this team. He doesn't know how to fix this. We're asking them to fix something that they just don't know how to fix. And the irony is they were both around Matt Stafford, and he was around Matt Ryan. They should have absorbed how those two went about their business and things like that, but they didn't, and that much is obvious. Now, the second thing is the part that I had the problem with was when he talked about the broken collarbone of Darnell Mooney. First and foremost, if that happened that early in training camp and we decided that we were going to throw out a hobbled Darnell Mooney as our second option when he came back still, I mean, what in the world are we doing? Because – you can't tell me that there's no one out there on waivers or the practice squad or anything that's not better option than a hobbled Darnell Mooney.
Well, Scott, it took them until yesterday to bring in Ford, and I appreciate the call. Just got to run, got to catch a break. Scott, thanks for checking in as always. They brought in four wide receivers yesterday. I guess Jalen Reagor would be the headline of the guys that they brought in. I mean, okay, I guess. And again, you to Scott's point, not only did you have a hobbled Darnell Mooney, you cut your wide receiver number three. It's a giant mess. But Raheem Morris, we'll take more of your calls. If you're on hold, stay there. You're up first. I thought with Dukes and Bell today, Ron, Chico, you guys will be up first. You got to have a little bit more honesty about the situation at quarterback. It's not rainbows and unicorns and butterflies. It's just not. It's not a if this, then that, we almost won the game situation when you're reflecting on the quarterback's play. Yes, that's what the game says about the 31-25 final, but when it comes to Michael Penix, not getting it done. Your calls are next. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 9:30. Ton of y'all want to continue this conversation? That's exactly what we're going to do. 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 9:30. Our head coach spoke today. Our quarterback spoke today. Not exactly inspiring the masses with their comments today. As a matter of fact, Michael Penix Jr. did not sound like a guy who was ready to turn the corner. And Michael Penix Jr. did not sound like a guy who was in the lab with his coaches doing everything needed to get this thing turned around. Not that they're not doing that, but that was not the projection his tone and his voice and his stature gave off today during his press conference. And then Raheem Morris, not only are we dealing with what we're talking about, which is the situation dealing with Michael Penix Jr. and his confidence and the overabundance of it from the head coach, but also, Oren, we have Darnell Mooney shoulder gate now, because Raheem Morris said on Dukes and Bell that Mooney was dealing with a fracture in his collarbone. And we'll ask D-Led. He's going to join me at the top of the hour. I don't think that before, 3:53 this afternoon, that was something that was privy to the general audience. So there's that to deal with, too. So overall, not an inspiring day of Flowery Branch in a time that we really needed it. So what say you? Chico leads us off. Chico, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Couple of quick comments. You know, no, you haven't quite thrown Michael under the bus. But, you know, you have had a change of heart since yesterday or the day before. You know, I've heard you make comments about the 12 for 28, you know, more than once. You know, Michael won't be the first or the last who have a 12 for 28 day, you know. And I haven't heard the interview that Michael had earlier. I'm looking forward to hearing it. So I'm sort of hesitant on making the comment that I want to make, is that, for lack of a better word, where's the compassion for the guy? You know, this is a young guy, 10, 11 games into his career. You know, and you all expecting miracles from this guy. You know, give him a break, man. Give him a break. You know, I'm looking forward to the day, whenever that might be, when we look back on these comments that we're making now about Michael, and he turns out to be
Chico, what comments? What are you talking about? What comments? I was as positive as anybody on Sunday on the flyover and Monday on the station talking about Michael Penix Jr. What are you talking about? Just because I said that it's not all on his shoulders doesn't mean that he played well, Chico. On what planet did he play well? On what planet does 12 of 28 in the middle of a spiraling season deserve grace? What grace? Guys, we talked about this. Chico, you have to understand, and thank you for the call. You have to understand, this is all within the context, Oren, of where the Falcons are. The Falcons are not the Browns. The Falcons are not even the Dolphins right now. The Falcons are not a team that's rebuilding. The Falcons are not the Jets with Justin Fields. They're not the Giants with Jackson Dart, where the result doesn't matter. Where the result doesn't matter. The result matters for the Atlanta Falcons in a humongous way, Chico. Humongous. Gargantuan, gigantic, whatever word you want to use, because this was supposed to be the end of the playoff drought. Everybody who calls in blindly defending Penix, you have to keep that in mind. Michael Penix Jr. was set up this season to lead this team to its first playoff appearance in 8 seasons. He has not done that. He has failed in doing so. Is it all his fault? No. And if you listen to me, Chico, before you essentially put words in my mouth, I said starting on the flyover on Sunday, I blamed this on the coaches. But that doesn't mean that Raheem Morris should come out and pour sugar all over the situation. Those are two separate things. Philip is up next. Philip.
Hey, Turtle. Appreciate the show, man. I'm in hearty agreement with you. But I just want to point out a couple things that I really haven't heard talked about. Everybody's talking about Zach's supposed to be the quarterback coach, but, you know, it's T.J. Yates, and he's never factored in. We've seen the same problems from the beginning of the season till now. Bad footwork, bad handoffs, can't even sell a fake. You know, I still have great hopes for Michael Penix, but we had a interview earlier today on your show with B.J. Robinson, and I liked what he said. He is looking at the best in the NFL to learn from himself. He's not putting it on a coach. He's not depending upon a coach. He's taking it upon his own shoulders. He recognizes his greatness, and he recognizes that he can do better. And he's looking for other people that have talents, techniques, and tools that he doesn't have to add to his game. Kind of like Caitlin Clark, man. They saw moves that she was making. She was obviously looking at Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, you know, because she was, you know, using their same moves. She was practicing their moves, and she was very adept at that. And, you know, you can't ever just rest on the laurels of what we've done in the past. But
is that what you think Michael Penix is doing? Is that what you think he's doing?
No, he's resting on his laurels. He's not.
Well, you said resting on his laurels. Do you think he's doing that?
What we did in college, that's past. And so that's what I'm talking about. The success that he had in college, you know, it's a whole different. A whole different play field here in NFL.
But Philip, he's had a year and a half, and I appreciate the call. He's had a year and a half of NFL coaching now. Like everybody, that you are not the first, so I don't blame you. And hopefully you're the last. Like, I don't want to hear about what he did or what he didn't do in college. He's now had a year and a half of NFL coaching, and he's had the same offensive coordinator the entire time and the same head coach. So Philip, you know, he's not fresh out of school anymore. You're supposed to be able to make improvements and work on things in the NFL. Clearly, it hasn't worked. And whether he's putting in 150%, only he knows that. Only he knows that. Ron is up next. Ron.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for my call. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I disagree with a couple of callers before, because I think they set the kid up to fail by not even playing him in the preseason. I mean, he's only started, what, 3 or 4 games last year?
3.
Whatever. Why didn't you just let a kid do normal stuff? Give him some time in there, preseason. Let him know what's going to happen. This is about to happen. I think the kid's going to be good, but he's no next coming of Michael Vick. And I think that's what a lot of people thought. And I agree with you. This coach, if you want to call him a coach, I'm not disrespecting the man, but he says the same things every time. We're going to fix this. We're going to, you know, whatever the case may be.
No, you're right. He does.
You know,
he does.
You know what I'm saying?
He does.
Stuff. Come on. It's not a coach. I don't know, man. I feel bad for Michael because they put him in a failure to begin with. They didn't give him an opportunity to get his legs underneath them, get out there, play some preseason, see what's about to happen, and then, you know, go forward. And now everybody's dumping on him because he can't, you know, do this, do that. He can't read a defense.
Well, the irony, Ron, is everybody's dumping on him but his own team. Like, everybody's holding him accountable except the guys that need to hold him accountable the most. Again, all of this is prefaced by saying we myself, Orin, everybody else is not advocating for Raheem Morris to go to the podium and say Michael Penix Jr. stinks. Nobody wants him to do that. What we do want is to say we acknowledge that our quarterback is not playing up to his potential, and we are going to do everything in our power, everything on God's green earth, to make sure that these last 8 games we get the best out of Michael Penix Jr. That is not what was said today. What was said today is, we're still confident in him. He's still confident in himself. And essentially, everything's okay. And that's not what we needed to hear today. I needed to hear more accountability, more culpability from the quarterback and from the head coach. Michael has put it all on himself. Okay, and that's great. And I understand that as the QB1, that's what we want to hear. But what we also need to hear are solutions, y'all. Okay, it's all me, it's all me, it's all me. Okay, but what are you going to do to be better, MPJ? What are you going to do? How are you going to get with your coaches and put together a better game plan? You know, he may be essentially a rookie, but he's also 25. He's a smart and articulate guy. He can make us feel better about what he's doing right now or what he's not doing by explaining it to us. And just by saying, you know, balls off me, coach, okay, that's great. You acknowledge it. He's not a diva. We all know that about him, and that's great. But I also need to hear more. I need to hear solutions. And that's really what it comes down to, y'all. I'm just not hearing enough solutions right now. 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. You're up first. When we get back, we'll also talk with D-Led, see what he's thinking. Oh, boy. This should be a fun spot with D-Led coming up, so don't go anywhere. D-Led and more of your calls to lead off the 7 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight.